The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Interesting comment from Tom in Cork. I live in rural Ireland. I regret living here, and if we had proper planning laws, we shouldn't be living here. People need to live in clusters, villages or towns where services can easily be brought to each household. I have crap broadband, a half-working septic tank, water that costs a fortune to treat and add to the crap roads that wreck our car. Taxis hate us and ignore us if they're busy, so nothing romantic about owning a house in the Irish countryside. Timmy Dooley of Fianna Fáil. There is an argument that, you know, if people choose to live away from towns and villages in rural Ireland, they can't expect everything to be given to them, including expensive broadband.
Well, that may be. There may be an argument that you could make for that if the only people that lived in rural Ireland were people who had decamped or decanted from the town. But I was brought up in rural Ireland on a small farm on the side of a hill. And, you know, that was the way of life. And there are many more like me. And obviously, if you're to treat people like that equally as you do in the city, where you have to put in lights and footpaths and roads and Lewis's and buses, then it's fair to say that some decent amount of infrastructure needs to be provided to the people of
Rhode Island.
Is it almost
like electricity broadband, in the sense that, you know, we had an electrification program for the country, everybody had to get it as universal service provision. I think the same was in relation to landlines, phones, that broadband just needs to be treated the same as just a basic part of everyday living.
More important, actually, the way things have gone, because there's alternative methods now of providing electricity or current or generating your own electricity, whereas you can't generate your own broadband. So it's no understatement to say that it is the current version of the rural electrification that has happened so many years ago.
Okay, put on your headphones. I want to bring in Paul Bradley from AIR, which of course has sparked this controversy by withdrawing its bid to become part of the rural broadband plan. Very briefly, Paul, I'm sure a lot of people know now, but just explain again why it is that AIR decided to drop out.
Good evening, Matt. What it boils down to, unfortunately, is that we had to make the regrettable decision to withdraw after being fully engaged in a process for 3 years and spending a substantial amount of money, because we felt the process became too complex, the proposed contract was too onerous, and outside of the NBP, there are other factors in the regulatory environment that, taken together, make it an unattractive business case for us. And that's unfortunate, but that's where we are.
Okay, but is that because you have new French owners coming in who've effectively changed your position on this?
No, it isn't. I mean, Richard Mote, our CEO, has been very clear that we set out to win the tender or as much of it as possible. But this decision was taken by the board. The issues that we have been well flagged. We have engaged through the tender process for, as I said, 3 years. And we have made these points repeatedly, but we haven't been able to resolve them. And as the largest telco in the country and as a company that has the infrastructure, we face issues that other bidders don't. And we weren't able to rectify those. And it made the current construct one that we just could not make the business case for.
Yeah, but have you effectively cherry-picked the best bits of Ireland to supply broadband to, and you just don't want to do the harder stuff?
Well, Matt, I mean, let's be very clear. Today, our network, we've delivered high-speed broadband to 70% of the country, and that's going to be 80% of the country. And if it means that there's 300,000 homes and businesses that are going to have high-speed broadband by the end of next year. So we're doing that by putting money from our pocket onto the table to invest and deliver those services. So there's no one else investing in rural Ireland. And we have done as much as we can, and we're getting to 4/5 of the country. Everybody recognizes that you can't deliver high-speed broadband to everyone on a commercial basis. But we do support the policy objective. We believe that everybody should have high-speed broadband. We thought
that's
that
easy
the NBP,
to say, isn't it?
No, but Matt, we've done 4/5 of the job. So, we believed that the NBP could be the solution to ensure everybody gets it. But we haven't been able to make the NBP work for us as a business case. But we will still be involved in an indirect manner, because our infrastructure will most likely be used by the other remaining bidder, and we're willing to provide that on a commercial basis in order to facilitate the policy objective.
Okay, Timmy Dooley, do you have any sympathy with AIR's position?
Well, AIR will make decisions around what's in the best interest of their shareholders. So it's not
whoever
like,
those shareholders happen to be.
Whoever they are at any particular
time. They keep changing.
So the issue here is not for AIR; it's for the government. And let's not lose sight of the fact that it's not just AIR have pulled out of the process. Ciro, which was a combination of Vodafone and ESB, pulled out of this process before Christmas. Now, when you take those three companies together, they're without a doubt the biggest telco operators in the country, the greatest amount of experience. And they don't see a business case in what the government is offering. There's just one remaining. And I don't know how the government are going to be able to square that circle, how they can make this commercially viable for the one remaining operator. If three companies of the size and scale that I talk about have already looked at it, they've run their Slido on it, and they say there's not a business case there for us. The concerns I have now is that you may end up having a contract signed to some extent under duress, and you find that it won't be able to be expedited over the course of the 25 years that the contract is supposed to run for. So you may have a situation where people are, you know, there's some level of broadband rolled out and the whole thing collapses 3 or 4 years hence from here. So like the whole thing's a shambles.
But how difficult do you think is it?
Well, it shouldn't be. When you consider the amount of experience that we have, this is stock and trade for AIRCOM or for AIR. It's pretty stock and trade for what ESB and Vodafone in terms of their experience. It would fall into their normal run of the mill stuff, poles, wires, cable. There's nothing particularly onerous about it, but the state seems to have created a phenomenally complex legal structure around this tender process. The minister explains to us today that they have 80 people working for a year and a half on this. This goes back to 2011 when it was first mooted. It was supposed to be all done and dusted by 2016. And we're still no further on.
Okay, we have our tech expert Andy O'Donoghue with us as well, who of course does Tech Tuesday with us every week here on The Last Word and Today FM. Andy, Ciro of course dropped out before Christmas. Now, was that down to the fact, could you blame AIR for Ciro's decision not to proceed with its bid?
Well, I'm not sure I could blame them for the decision, Matt, but I think what we've seen all along this process is that as people began perhaps to get to grips with the scale of investment, and I think that may be it, that they're beginning to think that it may not be as a viable proposition as when the initial process was begun.
Okay, but the initial process started at this stage 7 years ago, I think it is. I remember having Pat Rabbit, his minister, in here talking about it. I remember Alex Whiteman in here talking about it. Yeah. I've spoken to Dennis Nocton about it. Now, the only thing that you could say perhaps is technology must have developed so dramatically in that period of time that whatever would be delivered now should be an absolutely brilliant system and service by comparison with what might have been available 7 years ago. It could have been done wirelessly, for example, Andy.
Well, I I'm an advocate of, as we look at a process that is like, you know, we're talking about, you know, we're now talking about 2021 or perhaps further away. And during that time, only recently, back in the summer of last year, a wireless provider, OneWeb, a United States company, got FCC permission to enter the broadband market in America. And people talk about, rural broadband and satellite broadband has been often seen as a solution. People talk about latency, which is the delay in sort of your computer responding. However, these new companies who use low Earth orbit satellites, LEOs they're called, Elon Musk from Tesla is developing a system, as are OneWeb. They're incredibly effective, originally proposed for disconnected communities in Africa. Now people are realizing that they are a solution to rural broadband questions around the world. And I believe the first one will go live in Alaska later this year.
Okay. Aidan of Cork says, very disappointed, Matt, with your comment that rural people expect to get everything for nothing. It's the opposite, in fact, when we have to pay for everything. I didn't make a comment. I asked a question of Timmy Dooley in relation to that to see how he would respond on behalf of the people of rural Ireland. But Paul Bradley, I have to tell you as well, there's quite a lot of people saying that they're in areas served by AIR and they feel that the speed is low and the reliability is low, that you might be covering 4/5 of the country, but in large sections of that of the country, you're not doing it particularly well.
Well, I mean, what I can say, Matt, is that When you look at the statistics, we have about 1.7 million homes and businesses connected to our high-speed network, and 1.4 of those can deliver 30 megs or more. So, you know, close on 1.5 million. So not everybody gets the same speed because distance is still a limitation. But, you know, as you said earlier, the technologies have changed. They're constantly changing, and that requires continuous investment. And I think everybody recognizes that there has been a huge amount of progress made. Now, that's okay for people who can experience that progress, and it does not take away from the frustration from those who can't. But there is a lot of work being done, and, you know, there are now over 170,000 people that can get speeds of 1,000 megabits in the country. So there is constant progress that is being made.
Okay. I want to finish with you, Timmy Dooley, because quite a few people are saying, you know, you're giving out about things, but a large part of the problem is that Aircom, as it was, now Air, was sold by Fianna Fáil while you were in government and you took all the cash in. Hey, Alan Kelly last night on the Tonight Show with me suggested renationalising Air, that even if it cost $3.5 billion to buy it rather than letting this French guy buy it, that that might be a useful investment for the state. Would Fianna Fáil support Labour in the idea of renationalising Air to actually to get it to do this job?
Yeah, I mean, with the benefit in hindsight and with the development in technology and particularly the internet and the way it has become such an important part of life, it is fair to say that you wouldn't sell Aircom now.
Would you buy it back?
That being said, well, that's the issue. What other sacrifices do you have to make then in order to get that kind of money? What other cuts in services do you have to introduce? What hospitals do you not extend?
Yeah, but hold on.
Extend?
How much are you likely to have to pay to somebody to provide the rest of the broadband service?
Well, that's not clear. My understanding is, well, the government haven't made it clear as to what the cost of it is, but it will be spread over the lifetime of a contract, 25 years. So there's a difference in terms of paying out a colossal amount of money and amortising that over 25 years, as opposed to having to come up with that now and put it on our books in terms of the impact that would have on our ability to borrow for other services, namely schools, police, hospital beds, all of that kind of thing. So in isolation, yes, you would do it. But the reality is that when you're trying to, you know, get an extra 2,500 beds over the next 7 and 8 years...
Yeah, but hold on. That's the thing. You, at the moment, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have the electricity network, the gas network. They are in state ownership. You have various people who are offering services that piggyback on the network. Could we not do the same effectively with the network? Maybe buy the network from Air?
That would be more like it. And I certainly think that what the government now have to do is the piece of the network that's under consideration here that hasn't been rolled out, that certainly should be brought back within the control of
Paul
the state.
Paul Bradley, would Air be willing to sell the network?
Well, I mean, I think it's a kind of, it's a hypothetical question that I don't think that there really is, you know, it's not really something that's up for discussion. And I mean,
I'm putting it up for discussion. We have a national crisis in relation to broadband. Quite a few people are suggesting that the way to deal with it is for the state to take control of the infrastructure again. And probably, it's probably beyond your pay grade, but is it possible that Air might consider the sale of the infrastructure back to the state if it got offered the right price?
Well, Matt, I mean, there's a couple of points to make. First one is, whatever about any price that would be set, there's a technologies, as we previously discussed, are constantly changing, which requires continuous investment in new technologies. Now, that it requires, more capital to be spent, and I'm not sure that really there's an appetite. And the way the telecoms market is set and designed in Europe anyway is one that it has been deregulated and non-nationalized. So I don't think it's really as simple as you've set out in the question.
Paul Bradley of Air, Andy O'Donoghue from Tech Tuesday here on The Last Word on Today FM, Timmy Dooley of Fianna Fáil, thank you all very much for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.